This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left in a tight formation. Brady swings the pass right with Green on the run. To the 25-20. Green in a foot race. He's on his way to the end zone. He has a Patriots touchdown.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots kick off the postseason as they host Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Throws to the end zone. Oh. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Patriots pregame social brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Ready to go, boys. It's playoff time. We got a playoff game here today at Gillette Stadium as we come to you live from our Subway.
Playoffs?
Yes, playoffs. Yes. We're allowed to talk playoffs. We're in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's
sorry, coach.
You should have used that like 6 weeks ago. Live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Kickoff a little more than 2 hours away, and we're here for the next 2 hours. The phone number for you, 855-PATS-500. If you're on Twitter, use the hashtag PPGS. Also, send your emails, webradio@patriots.com. I already took a peek in the email account, and it's overwhelmingly positive, talking about booking flights to Phoenix, talking about not being worried whatsoever about this game. I hope we get a little bit more measured and a little bit more reasonable discussion about this game. Because
we are the Patriots pregame social, the largest global tailgate party of Patriots fans.
Okay, there's nothing wrong, honk boy, with respecting the opponent.
I respect him.
Are you jacked up today, by the way?
I'm going to respect him when we wipe the field with him.
And he'll let you know once the game starts.
You are jacked up today, right?
Then he'll tell you
I am jacked up today. I mean, how could you not be? I mean, it's a
I mean, like you're going to be difficult to deal with.
I could be, yes. There is no doubt.
I'm just checking.
I wished our show had started.
Let's get jacked up for this one, man.
What is going on back there? He's just
emptying. The guy who never does a drop in his life is just emptying the bucket of drops.
What, are you afraid this is going to be the last show of the year?
Yes, and my fingers are cold, so I'm trying to keep busy.
But in terms of motivation for Patriots fans to get a little pissy and snooty, did you see what the photo? I'm not sure which Baltimore paper it is. Do they have multiple papers down there, Paul? I don't even know.
Probably not.
The Sun?
The new master, the Baltimore Sun, I'll assume it is. Big sports page with Joe Flacco, and it says the new master. And it's got an inset photo of Tom Brady, sort of implying that Mr. Flacco and his five straight 100-plus passer ratings and Super Bowl rings. And
no, but you didn't know he didn't have anything to do with those wins?
Who said that?
You'll be hearing. You'll be hearing from those people shortly.
Yeah, those
based
people
on Beatles
exist.
Emails.
I'm just going to ask a question. Based you on- could tell me he didn't have anything to do with upsetting the Patriots when Ray Rice went 80 and he threw 10 passes and had a half a hip. But I think it's virtually impossible to have a 100 passer rating and have nothing to do with victories. Isn't that impossible?
No. Well, they don't think he throws the ball very often. So it's
doesn't
like,
throw it.
It's
enough.
Like
doesn't
I don't care how
passes.
Often you throw it.
It's like
it's a
and I actually heard your partner today,
Chris Gasper,
when
said
when I was coming
well,
in.
The things that they ask Joe Flacco to do are not the things that they ask Peyton Manning to do.
Right.
And I'm like,
so well, that means you
so
know
that means you're discounting
going 14 for 27 for 180 yards and two touchdowns. Evidently, is not
doesn't
effective
count.
Play at quarterback.
Has
it's
not
a formula that takes into account completions, touchdowns, yards per attempt.
Yeah,
right?
But he doesn't throw the ball enough to warrant the respect of some.
Right, because he doesn't open himself up to enough
no,
risk
that's
because
stupid.
He doesn't throw it
that's
enough.
That's asinine.
I agree with you.
Whether
I'm
you get to 100 passer rating like Steve Young or whether you get to 100 passer rating like Joe Flacco, you got to 100 passer rating
well, I think there's
in
a difference.
Victory.
I think there's a difference between a guy who, you know, completed a couple of passes for touchdowns, didn't throw the ball very often, so that's why he had 100 passer rating, as opposed to a guy who threw the ball 45 times and got 100 passer rating.
Yeah,
but
if the guy threw the ball
to make
45
of,
times and threw it parallel to the line of scrimmage, 20
but
of them?
To make fun of Joe Flacco for it specifically and not take into consideration that the 10-0 start that Brady had involved a lot of games like that.
Plus, how many insane? How many five straight playoff game 100 ratings did Brady have?
Well that'd
be zero.
But that's part of my point.
The only guy with more is another Joe Cool, Joe Montana.
Yeah, he's Flacco's been very good in the playoffs. Now, whether or not he'll be very good today,
is he the new master?
It doesn't matter what happens. What happened in the last, whatever many playoff games, five playoff games.
Ravens have won five straight in the playoffs. He's thrown 13 touchdowns, no picks in that time.
Imagine if Billy Cundiff and Lee Evans hadn't been involved.
Yeah, well,
you could argue the Patriots didn't beat them; they lost. You could argue that,
and that was one of the another.
See, does
game
that take me out of Homer Honkham?
Okay, but
that was another
least,
game that Flacco had that was great. By the way, that he lost.
Here's the way to phrase it, because I know what you want to do there. It wasn't a convincing win by the Patriots.
I would say it was not a win by the Patriots. It was a loss by the Ravens.
Okay, yeah. Either way. You don't have to be that strong.
See, now you're criticizing me for not being a homer. I was a homer 5 minutes ago.
Let's not try and make up for it by going the other way, okay, Andy?
Jesus.
Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say.
We're off the rails here.
I think you need to respect the Ravens.
6 minutes in.
Well, we're off the rails.
Shouldn't there be emotion?
Oh, yeah.
And don't you think this could be the beginning of the game, too?
Paul decides we're off the rails now because he hosted the last game of the regular season.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that the fans probably weren't used to.
We spent way too much time on the rails, that show.
The fans weren't used to the 5 second delay to start the show.
That's true. He doesn't do the delay for the button like you do. He goes right at it. Boom.
Boom. Boom.
Kevin points, Paul talks.
I just follow
you
directions.
Radio guys go to that.
I follow orders or people die.
Colin Cowherd, where you're worried between words. Did I lose the signal or is he still talking? Is he still making a point here?
I am looking forward to this game because I believe, unlike the recent divisional round games, I think there are two teams that are capable of winning the game today. In the last 3 years, I have not thought that.
Yeah, there are. The Patriots offense and the Patriots defense. I'm back in Homerville.
I can't keep up. Let me know what happens after the first quarter.
Okay.
No. See, that's what he does. He
first
changes.
First series.
First series. All I need to see is that Nate Solder is not going
to
wet himself.
All I can say is, Patriots fans, please, please, I'm begging you, do all your prayers that there's not a, four-play 13-yard drive in a punt to open the game for the Patriots because you're dead.
No. If Brady has time and just misses a throw, that's fine. But if Nate Solder looks like that, who was the guy from Florida or whatever that crapped himself in the bowl game the other day? If they're checking Nate Solder's pants for a brown stain, you're in trouble.
I would agree with that. Of
all
the guys,
be like Tangway's dog last night at Comcast.
So if he gives up a sack in the first drive, the game's over.
No.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, so you don't agree with that.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
No. Yes.
I'm saying it's over the other way if they don't. If there's no early pressure.
I don't even know what he's saying.
And now you know what I've lived for a week.
If Wendell is blocking Nada, if Wendell's not getting bitch slapped or Conley getting bitch slapped or is Nate Solder getting bitch slapped.
Why do you think
no? We understand if they're not, they're fine. But what if they do on the first drive?
It's over.
See?
Okay, that's asinine.
Because I think the Ravens are bullies, and they will just smell blood in the water. And Suggs will get out of his pipe.
Have a good drive, a good series to start the game. No. Game's over.
And even if you adjust,
we're
going to
bring
in
Hooman
and Devlin.
Who's a much better football team?
Patriots. I don't know how much better, but
much better than the Baltimore Ravens.
I disagree.
How do you end up with a team that's top 10 in scoring on both sides of the ball, just like the Patriots, and just say they stink?
Look at who they beat this
year. Oh, who they beat.
I don't care who they beat.
You can't count that in?
I don't care who they beat. I think the Patriots are better, and I think
the Patriots had more impressive wins.
I picked them to win all year.
Listen, the reason why this game will be closer than it should be is because
they're pretty comparable.
Because there is some advantages in terms of specific matchups for the Ravens that will keep this game closer.
Okay.
And the biggest one is
like what?
Their defensive front against your offensive line.
Okay, let's break it down.
Paul, what is the biggest factor in this game today.
I agree. And I know that we always do keys to the game at the beginning.
But if you're stacking up the resumes and the rosters,
but wait a minute, I
want
to get to this.
The Patriots are a much better team. Let's do the roster.
Who cares about the resume?
Wait a minute, you can't use the resume of who they beat this year?
For the 10 wins in 2001-04? Is that the resume you're talking about?
Resume of who you beat in the regular season, Andy.
I don't
2014.
I want to give you an example. To your roster that you're so dismissed of, but yet you say that the biggest area of concern is that, if the Ravens are so bad from a talent perspective, why are you worried about that matchup? They don't have any talent. They can't beat you.
Because it's a very important matchup.
And why are you concerned about it?
Because that is the Patriots' biggest weakness on their team.
Okay, but it wouldn't matter if the Ravens couldn't play. It wouldn't matter.
And when you all
because there's a lot of games the Patriots have played with that same offensive line, and it hasn't been all that much of a concern. So why is it a concern today?
Because the Ravens are good.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
And because you have Dan Connolly coming back from an injury, and we assume he's healthy because he's going to play on the field.
Are good enough,
and he's going
to
play.
Exploit a matchup. That's why it's. And I totally agree with you.
I got to be honest with you, Paul.
I agree with everything you said. It's the biggest matchup in the game, and if the Patriots can't handle it, they're going to have their hands full.
I think the start of the season, you know, was a grab bag of who you were going to get on the offensive line. The middle of the season, I thought the Patriots' offensive line was good enough.
I think they struggled virtually from start to finish. They were a little better in the middle, but
by the time they got to like that Chicago, Detroit part of the schedule, they were pretty good.
I think they were.
Now you're stretching. I think good enough is a good way to put it.
I think they were.
That's how I put it to begin with.
Good enough.
I got to keep selling.
Now you're trying to sell it to beat
Paul.
Paul
won't meet me in the middle on anything.
I'll meet you in the middle, but the guy that you specifically have criticized, Nate Solder, to me has not made me feel comfortable for 1 minute of one game this season.
I don't disagree with that.
So that's a concern.
I think Brady
to me.
Feels the same way.
And that,
I have not
and by the way,
once with that guy, over
not
there.
Even for a minute.
That has nothing to do with resumes. That has to do with roster. That has to do with talent. The guy that they have on one side is better than the guy you have on the other side, and that's not the only spot that's accurate about.
What other matchups do the Ravens win?
I think that Doomerville beats Vollmer on the other side.
Well, that's the same thing. That's the defensive line against your offensive line. I mean, the whole unit.
That's the whole thing. I don't think that the Patriots can run the ball against C.J. Mosley and Darryl Smith in the middle. That's a different matchup.
He's kicking your ass in this battle.
That's a different
matchup. Do you want to put numbers on that?
What's numbers?
Like in terms of how many yards the Patriots can rush for in this game? Can the Patriots run for 100 yards in this game?
No.
100?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think they can.
Not without a big play, they won't.
If Joe Flacco turns the ball over three times and the Patriots are up by three scores and they just run the ball like they did.
What did the Patriots run for last year against the Ravens?
And that's exactly what happened last year.
Like
Joe Flacco
50.
Turned the ball over four times. They won the game 41-7, and they piled up a bunch of plastic yards in the fourth quarter. So I'm not going to tell you how many yards they can or can't get.
You need me to bring Gasper back so you can battle somebody? Because you're getting your ass kicked.
They want to come out on first down and try to line up and run the ball down the Ravens' throat, they will not get 100 yards.
I don't think that's what they're going to do, though.
I think they're going to do enough. I think we're doing keys.
They're going to do enough in the run.
That was on air.
Let's officially get to the keys to the game today.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Now I'm going to say, the kicking game.
We're off to a good start, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not.
We're hot.
You're getting your ass kicked by Paul Perillo.
Yeah, it's one man's
point of
view.
He came out like I think Gronk is going to come out, just frothing and beating somebody.
It's one man's point of view.
Now, that's a huge matchup, I think.
Paul's on a mission today to tell us.
Well, I don't know how that works.
How great the Ravens
are. He lumps the entire front together, so do I have to lump all the pass catchers together?
Right.
I don't know what his matchups are. I thought matchups were guy versus guy.
I think the Patriots' pass catchers against the Ravens' secondary is a big advantage for the Patriots.
Well, which pass catchers against which guys? Because now we have to break it down.
Oh, now we divvy it up.
No, no.
Now we divvy it up.
I'm making a joke, because now all of a sudden we have to break it down into individuals.
Right. Because we
all
should
the
just
way
include
around.
Front versus
no, but
front.
But you said meet me in the middle. I met you in the middle on that and moved on to another one. The running game.
Bitch.
Right? Did I not?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Well, he's got to collect his thoughts.
You know what I'll do?
He's
I'll let you sit with Andy. Tell me what happens after the first drive, and then you can come back to me. Maybe we can be mic'd up during the game, and we'll figure it all out.
Might be a better show.
Not safe for all audiences.
That's not safe for audiences, especially with Fred nearby.
Are we skipping over?
No, we're going to the keys.
The game hinges on that. I think if the Patriots lose, it's almost a virtual certainty. If they lose, that means they had trouble up front.
Well, let's put it this way.
Line and
can they win the game if they do have trouble up front?
Sure.
Because I think they still can.
Because if Flacco doesn't, you know, you get into a dogfight and Flacco turns it over and Brady turns it over and they just kind of go back and forth, sure.
I think they'd be very hard-pressed to win the game if they have a lot of trouble up front. I do.
Well,
if they lose control of the line of scrimmage.
I'll tell you what.
It's trouble. Now
I'll tell you what,
Paul.
Do you feel better about their chances of winning a game like that now than you did a year or 2 years ago because of the Patriots' defense?
Sure. Absolutely. That's the reason why I'm picking the Patriots to win the game. I have more confidence in the Patriots' defense than I've had since, I don't know, 05, 04, long time.
Okay, so we know we're going to spend the bulk of this show at some point readdressing the Suggs, Solder, Doomerville, you keep him off the field, can they get him on the field, rotational, nada, all that. So we'll move on from that. The next one to me is Rob Gronkowski. As Paul Perillo said on your big-time afternoon show,
number
17
one
games in a row, who's going to cover Rob Gronkowski? Will Hill is going to do it?
Or we play the game every week.
I mean,
can they cover Rob Gronkowski?
No, it's very
My
simple.
Answer is still no.
It's a terrible game because it's the same game every week. But no chance it changes.
My question here would be, and I totally agree with the first.
180 yards and two touchdowns.
And I did, well, no chance. But I did
the.
He
pulled me.
180 yards?
Hey,
180 yards.
He thinks Gronk's a jerk for trying to get in the end zone.
That's right. He'll be mad because he'll try to stiff arm Will Hill.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's an accurate portrayal of that, no question.
We've gotten to Paul early in the day, Andy.
He's crusty today.
That's exactly what happened. No, that's exactly the way I read it. Yeah, absolutely. The Gronkowski thing, there's no question. If they want to sit there and say Will Hill can cover him, that's not happening. He'll dominate, and they'll have no answers. What my question would be, what would happen if Baltimore does say what the Jets did a couple of weeks ago and what San Diego did a few weeks before that and says, you know what, Gronk's going to get a couple of plays here and there, but we're not going to let him take this game over. You're going to have to do it with somebody else. Then, you know, do you think?
Yeah, I'm not even sure they're capable within reason. Like,
you don't think they could double team him all over
the place?
I think
San Diego did it because Eric Weddle played a great football game.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, that's not what the Jets
did. Played a great football game.
That's not what the Jets
did. No, that isn't what the Jets did.
The Jets just put multiple players around him and rotated and hit him, and they made him work for it.
And I think
so what happens if he ends up, I think, Beetle, you brought up something during the week on your highly rated show, number one, locally here in Boston.
I don't see any other way to look at it, Paul.
I think you said something along the lines of what happens if he gets, say, 5 catches for 70 yards and maybe a touchdown. Do you think the Ravens are happy with that? I think they'd be thrilled with that. Because, you know, do they have, is LaFell in or Edelman capable of doing a whole lot more?
Well, if they do hold Gronk to that, but those other two guys are going off because they've put too many resources.
Yeah, do you think
resources?
They can go off? Oh, is
sure.
My question.
I think anybody can go off. I think Shane Vereen could have a big game. I think Julian Edelman. I think there's plenty of guys that are capable of making plays and having a big game. I think Edelman's going to have a big game. I do, because I think they're going to focus on Gronk in the middle of the field, and Edelman's.
I think he could catch a lot
of
passes. I'm not sure he could have a big game.
I think he's going to have some plays that he extends, splits a guy, breaks a tackle, treats it like a punt return. All of a sudden, has a 40-yard gain.
Well, we'll see.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Let's get to
Ravens. You seem like you're poo-pooing a lot.
Yeah, it seems
Patriots.
Like you're really high on the Ravens today.
I'm picking the Patriots because of the Patriots
he
defense.
He thinks Gronk's not going to do anything. Edelman's not going to do anything. The defensive line's going to dominate the Patriots.
His shoulder's going to get blown up on every play.
When did I say
his tone says Ravens, but his pick says Patriots.
Because I don't think Gronkowski is going to get 180 yards means I don't think that Gronk's going to do anything in this game.
Well, even if he has his one touchdown, and you don't think anybody else is going to go off, so they're going to win
go
with
off.
One touchdown?
I think that they might be able to win with 17 points today, yeah.
I do not.
I think the defense is going to win the game today. I've been saying that all week. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win with 17.
I think the defense will score a touchdown today.
I think you get 17.
Like they have every other game.
Start
the
Brady
like the
criticisms if you get 17 today, because I think you're going to lose the game and people are going to say, 17 points again. We got one of the highest scoring offenses and we score 17 when it matters.
Is that how they say it, too?
Yeah, on your show.
Yeah, okay. And by the way, again, he's ignoring the part that the points that I'm saying the defense is going to score. So I don't think they will be held to 17 as a team. I think the offense might be held.
Oh, you think 17 offensively plus points from
the offense might be held to 17 or 20 points. The defense, I think, is going to score a touchdown in this game.
Okay. Bold predictions here. Let's start on the phones with Jeff in Vegas. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Jeff.
Just bracing for the contest here in Vegas. I've been accosted by several Ravens fans and Patriot haters. They're all hoping against hope that...
Well, stay out of the elevators with them. You know what happens there.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Have you guys seen that picture going around that says we eat birds with Brady eating the Thanksgiving chicken? We don't beat women or something. That's kind of an interesting photo. I'll put it on the PPGS regarding that. Along those lines. I'll tweet it.
Yeah. Anybody in a white suit, you probably want to avoid them. Any Ravens fans wearing a white suit?
Oh, boy. Why don't we bring this back on the rails here before we get in trouble?
Yeah, I'm hoping they come out and just play fast, sort of like that theme of the Cincinnati game. I hope the crowd is fired up, and I hope Brady is sharp.
Well, obviously, Brady being sharp is key to everything, whether he gets under pressure, not under pressure. I really have a Bengals-like feel to this game. You know, all the motivation. Oh, it's the worst-case scenario. You drew the the Ravens. You know, anybody else you would have won, but they know how to beat you, and Flacco's better, and Harbaugh's better. I think they got a bee in their bonnet, and they're about to explode.
Yeah, I think the Ravens really
wait to see what happens in the first drive.
My balls.
All right, Jeff, what do we got for a pick?
Yeah, as far as the number also reflects the Raven emphasis with the general public. As Paul alluded to earlier in the week, it opened New England -8, then down to 7.5, now it's down to 7. New England even money, so they're doing everything they can to prevent the number from dipping below 7.
Okay, I have no idea what that
okay,
means, but I'll trust
and,
you.
And you believe what will happen.
And that's going to bring us to the Jets and Vegas smart money play of the playoffs.
Heavens to Betsy!
Fancy there.
The highest guys, back up the truck.
Oh.
1,000 star play on New England.
Only 1,000?
2,000. 2,000.
Oh, 2,000.
Play.
Never good when you get bullied into a pick, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I'm doubling down. Back up the truck. They are going to come out shop. I think I agree, Edelman. They can't stop Gronk. That's what all these New England haters are forgetting, that New England struggled at Baltimore without a healthy Rob Gronkowski, which, of course, as we know, there's no answer for. So give the 7, take the Pats, lock it in, get big, and we'll see you guys hosting the Indianapolis Colts next Sunday.
And we'll see you for lunch on Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree with that whole call except for the last part. But I think the Patriots are going to win in cover in this game. I just think it's going to be because of the defense. You guys seem to be more convinced about the offense than I am. But I think we're all in agreement as to where this game is going.
Liam's in North Carolina. He's up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Hey, guys. To me, the most important key or factor in this game is the fans. Pats Nation needs to show up, get the energy flowing. I challenge all of Pats Nation to get up off their butt, really disrupt the Ravens during this game. When I step outside to get rid of the Diet Budweiser in my system, I want to hear Muffin Farming Brady Chance all the way down here in the South. I mean, that's really the big unknown in this game is the fans. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. Today they got to show up, and I want to hear it. That's all I got, guys. Talk to you after the game.
And I think that's fair, because if I'm calling for Gronk and Brady to do a little bit of a recap of Week 5, then the crowd was obviously a big story.
Yeah, I don't really look at the crowd as being a big factor in a game against a team that's played a million road playoff games. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, Cincinnati, if Cincinnati were coming in here, then I'd say the crowd could actually visibly affect Andy Dalton. You could see it.
But not Joe Cool, the new master?
I mean, he might throw 3 picks. It's not going to be because he was spooked by the crowd. It's because he's not that good.
Email's coming in, webradio@patriots.com. Nick writes, hey, guys, here are your arguments in the game so far. Beetle, the Ravens stink. Pats win in a blowout. Andy, Gronk, 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 Gronk. And Paul, the Patriots are awful. They are far worse than the Ravens. The Ravens will hold Gronk in check, and nobody else is capable of catching more than 3 passes.
180 yards.
Patriots will win because the Ravens throw up on themselves, not because the Patriots are good. Am I missing anything? Thanks.
Oh, I think you encapsulated it perfectly.
Gronk, well done, Gronk, man. Gronk. I don't think it'll be a blowout. 7 to 10 points. Is that a blowout?
Yeah. Well, I got it being a bigger spread than you, and I hate them.
And I got 40 to 20, so I get a bigger spread.
Well, depending on what happens after the first drive.
Oh, shut up.
Well, then stop saying that.
I haven't said it once this show. You're saying it.
You keep saying, I don't know, if they told
23-13, something like that. 17 points on offense.
See, but
that's what I put it at.
No, but that's kind
and
of a
defensive
similar game.
Touchdown.
Would you just say 23?
We're not a special team score.
Did you just say 23-13?
23-13.
That's a similar game.
24-13, something like that.
I don't know how. This is like.
You have a tonality problem.
You know what he's
Paul.
Like?
You say
three touchdowns.
You know what
he's three
like?
Three touchdowns
win.
And a field goal.
He's
one
like
on
Fred.
The defense.
He's like Fred.
Wow.
You can argue with him for 20 minutes
when
and then
agree?
Realize at the end that you actually agree. It's arguing with Fred.
But
that's a compliment, by the way.
Thank you.
That's a compliment for
you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Because you know better. You know that you can get me in an argument about anything.
I know,
right?
I
so
know.
You know that
know
going in. So if you agree with me, then it's on you if you
but
didn't want to be in an argument.
But then it's not fun. It's not fun when everybody agrees.
That's what I said. If you agree with me and you didn't want to be in an argument, that's on you. Because you know how easy it is to get me involved in an argument.
Chad's in California. Hi, Chad.
I'll take a Pepsi over
What's
there.
What's going on, guys?
Take a water there, Andy, if you could. Sorry, Andy's just going to get us drinks.
Even though we're taking a break in like 2 minutes.
I'm sorry, Chad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I said happy playoff Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you as well.
Yeah, so my prediction, 27 Pat. And then I got the whole name thing figured out, guys, for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
What name? So the defense.
Oh, the defense, yeah. Yes.
We call him Ice.
Ice.
And Gronkowski is the fire. So So fire,
fire and ice. Yeah, I don't know if that one's going to catch on, Chad.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel it. Paul, you feeling that one?
He was all in. I feel bad now.
All night last night, man.
You stayed up all night? Come
fire
up with that
and ice. Now, what is forgive me here. What is what is intimidating about ice?
It's cold.
Oh, it's ice. It's stony.
Remember Schwarzenegger and Batman, Mr. Freeze? Oh, and he shows up and freezes everybody. It's cold.
Okay. Okay. See, Andy's helping you out. Andy's helping you out here. You know, I can see. I'm just trying to, like,
I'm just envisioning the
intimidation. I'm not thinking ice.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. And then the other guy chimes in. That is not very intimidating.
Yeah, I just,
especially
I'm
when their mother bitch slaps them and tells them to be nice.
I don't know what goes on in that giant head of his. I say it all the time.
Was that a nickname attempt? Is that
what that's what
here?
Chad asked.
Plus, I don't mean to be rude, Chad, but it's kind of cliche.
Yeah.
Fire and ice.
It's been used before.
That whole
something.
Stupid restaurant, right? The fire and ice restaurant.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Ours all was, right, you don't have to be.
Come
mean.
On now, Kev.
Was it creative like Island of Doom?
You know, despite the fact that it evidently had run its course in August,
and is very similar to the Seahawks.
Let's get to some more emails coming in. Scott writes in, one person speak at a time, please.
We had an island.
Scott's calling us Fox News. Said we were yelling at each other at the same time.
That does tend to happen.
VIP strippers wrote in.
What did he say?
He says the game is 60 minutes long, and he's writing about your comments about the first series of the game, Andy.
Yes.
60 minutes.
And he knows, as a regular listener of this and PFW in Progress, that I truly believe you can lose games early. You can't win them, but you can lose them early.
And I will say it to
you. On the first drive?
Yeah, well, I've been making fun of Andy a lot about that comment that he made, but I do agree with his premise that you can lose the game in the first quarter. Absolutely. I know.
Well, the Patriots did that against the Ravens before.
Coaches say it all the time.
And Ray Rice came in here, ran
all
the
time. It would be like you to be negative. I think that the list is far longer of games the Patriots have won in the first quarter. The game has been over in the first quarter because they come out and dominate.
Just trying to keep it topical.
I know. I know you don't want to be a honk like Andy and I, but that's, you know, you just embrace it. You work for the team, you embrace it.
Emailer writes,
I ask you why you picked the Patriots, you say, because that's what I'm contractually obligated to do.
Wow, a lot of self-reflection over there for Paul.
Well, 15 years old. This is my 16th season.
Congratulations, Paul. Emailer writes, hey, guys, love the show. Here's why I'm worried about the Patriots today.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Paul and Andy have been saying the Patriots should win today with the caveat that the offense will click. I think that's a huge leap. We can't expect the offense to figure it out overnight after the past six games of mediocre play. That's why I agree with Andy when he says he only needs to watch one offensive series.
These my peeps.
I think the Pats are either going to march up and down the field or they're going to struggle offensively. That's from Alex.
Alex is a smart man.
Which
is
also what are the other options?
What?
What are the other options?
For what?
They're either going to march up and down the field or struggle.
No. You could have perfect protection, and Brady just misses Gronk down the seam, and they punt.
So they didn't march up and down the field then.
No, but they also didn't get their ass kicked. If I have that, I'm going to say, if Gronk is wide open down the seam and beats Will Hill and Darryl Wright, Smith.
Can you do me a solid and switch sides for a second?
Oh, for Christ's sakes. He's not even listening.
Because you didn't listen to the email. The guy said they're either going to march up and down the field or struggle on offense.
But
if you're missing open guys, you're struggling on offense. No,
but you know there's an in-between. And the in-between goes to them, by the way.
I guess the in-between is they have a lot of 30, 40-yard drives that don't result in points.
See, if they're driving
like a Jets game.
You move the ball,
if they move the ball, they will win. The only way I'm going to say they're
really true. They don't score.
Right, I'm saying that's true. I'm saying that's true. My analysis after the first series is simple.
Oh, so okay.
Don't poop yourselves up front and establish that you're here for a dogfight. You're going to punch Suggs back. You're going to punch Nata back. And Doomerville and those guys.
So you think the Pats come out, they go three and out, Brady gets sacked, game over.
Yes.
Holy crap.
But you also think if they get the ball and they show that they can protect Brady and go down the field and score, the game is over too.
Yes.
So I would say to that you're not giving the Ravens credit.
At least you're being consistently insane.
They've been very good in the red zone this year.
Yes.
And they might be able to, they might allow some drives.
Who they played?
Teams.
So I jumped inside.
They might be.
Good stuff, Andy.
I mean, I think that the Patriots could move the ball and struggle to put points on the board.
Paul takes everything seriously, and we screw around with him. And it must be so frustrating.
I know, but I know you're screwing around with me. I'm not.
I know, but it's still frustrating.
Like, I don't even know.
I could play Eric and just sit here and not talk.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
okay,
we don't want that.
I know you're screwing around with me.
You're not a proper douchebag.
We save that for Eric.
Right.
For example, though, the
They beat the Panthers. So is that a good win or a bad win? Like, the Panthers are playing this weekend.
Especially when they beat them, it's a meaningless win.
No, I know. But you can make those say, well, they beat the Panthers. Panthers are playing in the same round, the divisional round team.
And it's just like, you know, the whole playoff thing.
They beat the Steelers three times.
You know, the
right?
Twice.
Okay, twice. Beat the Steelers twice. Do we discount those?
No, I would say that the resume part.
I think the Steelers kind
of
suck.
The resume part of what Beadle said is 1,000% accurate. The Patriots played a much tougher schedule.
The league doesn't
did much
say,
better against tough teams.
But the league doesn't say the Steelers suck. The league said that the Ravens had to go to the Steelers as the third seed in
plus,
the postseason.
But
hold
that's
on.
Plus, that's their
but
rival.
For the point of the conversation, where do you think the Steelers are in comparison to the Patriots?
Worse.
Yeah, by
just
a lot.
Just like I think the Ravens are worse than the Patriots.
So you really think this is like this enormous gulf between the Patriots
like,
and the
AFC? I think there's a big gap between the Patriots and
I think the Patriots are the best team in
the Steelers,
AFC. But I
for sure.
I just don't think it's as big a gap as you do. That's all.
I think there's a gap there.
I think there's
how
a gap there,
how big it is,
yes.
We'll have to debate.
Mind the gap.
I think there's a gap there, and I would agree
is
with that.
Is the gap between the Patriots and Broncos bigger or smaller than that with the Ravens?
Smaller. I think the Broncos are the second best team in the AFC.
That's what I'm saying. So there's a gap. I think the Patriots are better than the Broncos.
And I do, too.
But even like
and that's,
but my
that's
point
only
is
because of Manning.
The seeding and the records
Manning
tell you that,
throw.
Too. Yes, the Steelers weren't as good as the Patriots or the Broncos. That's why they were the 3 seed and not the 2 seed or the 1 seed.
I think Cincinnati is just the worst.
But my point is
the team that they finished the season with is not necessarily their team. I mean, like, no A.J. Green, no Gresham, no Malauga. I mean,
right, let me put it to you like
missing a lot of key
Steelers
guys.
Didn't have Le'Veon Bell,
me to
who you could argue
I think there's a gap, but
players,
absolutely,
I don't think
and
the seeding in the AFC tells the entire story because I think of the teams that the Patriots could have faced this weekend, the one I want to face the least is the Ravens.
Yeah, that's all.
The least.
See, again, it took us 40 minutes now.
I respect their coaching staff.
1,000%.
I respect their coaching staff more than any other team in the AFC in the playoffs.
And I would agree with that statement.
John Harbaugh and his staff, I think, is better than any other staff that's in the playoffs.
It doesn't mean that the Patriots won't win. I believe they will win today.
So it seems like we agree on a lot in this game.
We do. So it's going to be a boring hour and a half.
I don't think so. Not the way we've started. It seems like it's going to be unpredictable. You
know, I think we're off to a great start.
The only thing I guess that
I need a crown.
I think Mark is dismissing, I think, the talent of the Ravens. You know, when he says, you know, they
but I don't understand
better,
him. He just
the
said
roster.
They're the worst possible team they could face.
Well,
but
I think
not
he's looking at it more from
because of game plan coaching.
I think he's looking
they're
at
not
more
gonna crap
more
on themselves when they get inside
so they're
this
not
building.
Good. They have no talent.
See, I think they're a talented team.
I do too.
I don't think they're as talented as the Patriots, but I think it's comparable. I think they have good players.
I think they have a good roster.
I think Steve Smith and Torrey Smith
have better
receivers than Brandon LaFell and Julian Edelman.
I think one of the issues is they have the dominant guys, like Revis, like Gronk. They don't have anybody that's at that. Like, Torrey Smith and Steve Smith aren't Calvin Johnson. Like,
no.
They're good receivers,
yep.
But they're not elite.
Well, yeah. I think Steve Smith's pretty good.
See, I think he's
like
just
him.
Good.
I think he's pretty good. I actually think Torrey Smith is overrated.
I think Torrey Smith is terrific.
Overrated.
He's
he had that one
team.
Big game against the Patriots.
We agree on everything.
Now we had the 100.5.
Now we got something
and
to
the
argue
two
about.
Touchdowns. And the rest of the time, he's been
he
eh,
averages like
in the
over
playoffs,
20 yards a catch
in
career
the playoffs,
against the Patriots.
Yeah, but look at how many catches he has in a game. So
I don't care about that. I
catches.
Care about how many yards they get, not how many catches they make.
I think he's kind of overrated. I don't think he's as big of a threat as everyone makes him out to be. You want to give an
plus,
international
how many,
number here,
how many pass
yeah.
In a,
when we come back,
how many pass interference penalties is he drawn that don't count in the stats?
I think those, by the way, we're going to talk about that. We'll do that next.
I know,
let's save that.
Overrated.
No, they're not, but we're going to talk about that next.
Overrated.
What do you got, Andy?
Well, I know somebody wanted to call from Australia. They were promising it. Are they on the line?
Let me check. We have Devin in Australia.
Oh, we do? Oh,
yeah.
I think I'm going to take
a break
giving
not
Australia.
Australia.
I'm going to give our friends in France who have had a tough week. And maybe some Patriots fans who want to take their mind off of some of the local news and events, want to talk football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patty. And they're not busy shaving their armpits, so they can have time to call in. France, 0-8.
That's nice. You said they have a tough week, and now you
0-0-9-1-2-3-8-4-0-8-0-0-9-1-23-84. France, call in.
Hold on. Did you read that number once or twice there?
Twice.
Was that all one number, or did you
no,
read,
I read
it twice?
Do you
okay.
Need it one more time?
Yeah, one
no.
More time.
No, okay.
One time, start to finish.
08-0-0-0-9-1-2-3-8-4.
Multilingual.
I diversify.
Only Andy Hart could try to say something
nice,
sympathetic, and nice, and then he breaks it out into, oh.
If they choose not to shave their armpits, and then I rep and I talk about it, it's not a shot, right? It's not like they were born incapable of shaving their armpits. I'm not mocking like a deformity. They choose whether or not to shave their armpits, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just making fun of our cultural differences.
Why don't they shave their armpits?
I don't know.
Is it true?
I don't know.
Or is
I'm
it
taking
like
your word
urban
for
legend?
It. It might be in myth. Oh. Anyway, let's take
like
a time
the English
out.
With their teeth in Austin Powers.
Yeah. It's whatever. Let's take a time out.
I'm told that's true.
I guess. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are off to one heck of a start here on this playoff Saturday.
Energy, excitement,
let's get
playoff.
The phone calls and more of your emails coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a question for the boys? Call them on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
This email just came in, webradio@patriots.com, from Keith. Because I agree with Mark, Torrey Smith sucks as a receiver. Go back and look at his highlights. When the ball is contested in the air, he pushes off the defensive back 100% of the time. And I hope the refs finally expose him for the less-than-average Mike Wallace type of receiver that he is. That's some strong stuff from Keith. Good email, Keith. Appreciate it. Let me just turn that around to you. To be serious for a second.
I want to ask you, do you think that that's accurate?
No, I don't. Not entirely.
So
does he push off? Yes.
Okay, does who doesn't push off? Like, Des Bryant sucks because he constantly pushes off when he's contesting one-on-one balls, except for he catches them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly not putting Torrey Smith in Des Bryant's category.
Please don't mention those guys in the same sentence.
Though. Certainly not doing that, but Torrey Smith is a dangerous, deep, big play receiver who averages a lot of yards per catch.
I would agree with that.
I'll take a guy with 50 catches who averages 17 yards a catch over a guy with 75 catches who averages 10 yards a catch any day of the week.
The people who say he's killed the Patriots, right? Like, he's given them fits. Well, he had one huge game against them. Huge. It was like 147 yards, two touchdowns, which everybody remembers. But he's not killed them, so to speak, in games since that point.
I actually think the Mike Wallace comparison's a pretty good one.
I think it is, too.
He's
going to
get overpaid.
That's my serious point.
Because he's going to be a free agent. The Steelers knew that Brown was the better player. They knew they were keeping Brown, and that's the guy they thought was going to be the better player. I think he's proven himself, by far, the better player. But they're still good, productive NFL talents.
As it relates to today's game, does that make him a tough matchup for Brandon Browner?
Smith?
Yeah.
Which one?
Torrey Smith. Not Steve Smith.
I think so.
I think so, which is why I didn't understand why everybody assumed it was going to be Browner and Torrey Smith. I think it goes the other way.
If we compare it to Mike Wallace, did Mike Wallace not give Revis a tough time?
Not really. I mean, a little bit. He's a productive player.
I mean, listen, Revis has been shutting guys down left and right.
He caught a couple of passes in the opener,
yeah.
You know, one of which could not have been any more contested. You know, sort of would fall into the fluky variety. But I would worry about Torrey Smith running by Brandon Browner, and I do not worry about that with Revis.
Although, to be fair, Steve Smith has more big plays this year for them than Torrey Smith. What did I say the other day, Paul? Like six of – they have like 10 plays over 40 yards, and Steve Smith has six of them. Torrey Smith, I think, has two of them. So he has made the – you know, and their longest like five plays are all Steve Smith plays. If you remember early in the year, he had that one like deflected off the corner and then he kind of kept running, ran under it. A few of those, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying he's faster, but he's made some plays too down the field this year for them and had a much better year than I'm guessing everybody, including the Ravens, expected him to have. I mean, I think most people thought he was a comp. Remember, we talked to a guy last year in Carolina who told us he's essentially a slot possession receiver. I forgot who he was, but whatever our guest was, he is not a slot possession receiver right now for them. He has been making plays for them.
When it comes to Steve Smith versus Torrey Smith, if you're asking me who I'd rather go into a playoff game with, I'm taking Steve Smith every time. Every time. And I know Torrey Smith had a big game against Denver a couple of years ago and made big plays in that game that helped Baltimore get past Denver and get to the Super Bowl and all that. But when it comes to who I want the tough, gritty, physical guys to play in January.
Sure, and that's great.
And that's what Steve Smith
They don't have to pick. They have both.
I know.
Yeah, and I'm
you have to cover both.
I'm saying
the picking is how you cover
from my perspective, who I think is tougher to deal with, I think it's Steve Smith.
Yeah. Today, I would say I would rather have Torrey Smith. For the career, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Steve Smith had a better career than Torrey Smith will end up, no question. But today, I don't think Steve Smith is the guy that you're describing.
Like, I love Anquan Boldin. And Anquan Boldin, you know, was playing for the Ravens. I think they've replaced some of what they lost with Anquan Boldin with Steve Smith.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, it's different.
Right.
I mean,
they're not the
Boldin
same
is a much bigger guy, and he made his plays that postseason, you know, just a guy, you know, Ben Coates style, a guy draped on him, and I'm going to go up and catch the ball, and you're not going to catch it. What I think Patriots fans would hope to see from Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, and I'm not anticipating Steve Smith doing that today. But maybe you know.
I'm just fascinated by the matchup and the presumed matchups that came out of Baltimore and even New England. Some people seem to fall in line. Yep, that's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, you and I seem to be alone on our thoughts on Torrey Smith.
I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. You know, some people were even – we had emails this week. Well, maybe they should put Browner on Owen Daniels because Owen Daniels is a key part of their offense and the Patriots struggle, tight ends. I'm interested, and I think it's probably going to be a mixture. I don't think this is going to be you saw Revis with this guy for 85% of the snaps. I think there's probably some mixing and matching going to go on. We know they've been doing a lot of sub defenses with extra DBs on the field. I think you're probably going to see some zone, some man, some left, some right, some up, some down.
We're going behind enemy lines at 3:15. Want to remind everybody of that. We're going to talk to Ryan Mink of Ravens.com. Ryan Mink being the guy that Eric Scalavino went up against on that show. I don't know what it's called.
I would rephrase that as that Eric Scalavino got bitch slapped by on NFL Now or
yeah, NFL
was.
Now, I think it was, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the service, the video. I think it's an online video through the NFL Now app and video sort of accumulation system.
All right, then.
Yeah, I think Mink won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd give Mink the victory. A lot of people
I would,
were
too,
high.
Even though I didn't see it.
A lot of people were high on Eric for that video, but I'm giving Mink the win. We're going to talk to him coming up.
The only person high on Eric for that video was Eric.
No, I heard yesterday or 2 days ago, Chester in Portland.
Yeah, he
was
just,
all about it.
But he roots for laundry, not people. He sees Eric as the Patriot laundry
like, yeah,
and Mink
Eric!
As the Raven laundry.
All right. Let's get to Devin. Devin is down under in Australia. Hi, Devin.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good night, Mike. Top of the morning.
Wrong.
Yeah, well, just sitting here on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. having a pre-game drink to calm the nerves.
Oh, what's your beverage of choice down under?
We are drinking Sierra Nevada.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Isn't
rather American.
Yeah. I love how everybody imports for everybody else, and nobody wants their own regular stuff.
Where's the VB?
I don't like VB. I'm into the sort of
Foster's?
Craft beers, small breweries are my choice.
So, American craft beers.
American craft beers, Australian craft beers, like top of the list, yeah.
Do you brew your own?
I tried to. It doesn't taste that great.
No. That seems how it is with most people. Everybody's like, oh, look, I made my own beer, and it sucks.
Yeah, well, this is the first game that I've watched live in about a year, so I usually just watch it delayed on a Monday night. So,
how does that change this for you?
The week, get me to and from work.
This is like a real football Sunday for you,
yeah,
in
like,
Australia.
I mean, it must be totally different.
It is, yeah. And I've been looking forward to this for a while. I was hoping that we'd get the Saturday playoff game so we can watch the game on Sunday live.
And are you by yourself, or you got some friends over? Any Patriots fan friends?
Yeah, there's my mate Kyle. He's here as well. We're probably two of the biggest Patriots fans down under, I reckon.
Is he a koala bear? Does he have eucalyptus?
Please ignore Andy. Please, Devin, ignore
Andy. I think it's funny
Andy.
That it's his mate.
Could you have an aneurysm, like, in the break?
It's his mate. Now, that doesn't mean you guys, you know, does it?
All right, Devin, anything else? What do you got on the game today?
Yeah, we just had sort of one question. We were wondering about Dan Connolly and whether his return will help the offensive line as much as we were hoping, because obviously it's been a bit of a struggle.
It will help because he's one of their best offensive linemen. Am I 1,000% sure that he can deal with the interior of their defensive line? No.
And that he is 100% healthy because he's been really banged up down the stretch. And Not playing all that well when he was still playing. Sean Ellis slapping him around.
Remember that? When he bitched
Was that him? Was that Conley?
Pretty sure it was Conley.
That's a concern.
It's very important because he's one of their best offensive linemen, and we've talked about it all year. Solder seems to be different when Mankins is next to him, and he seemed to get comfortable with Conley next to him. So hopefully that, you know, by conjunction, kind of helps Solder play better.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. Thanks for taking my call.
Enjoy the Sierra Nevadas. That was so, like, I thought he was going to throw something out there, something like we'd never heard of, you know, like the Sierra Kangaroo Nevada. Black I'm drinking or something. What?
He's such a great role player, isn't he?
No, but you know how, like, all the American beers have, like, all the craft beers go with, like, quirky names now, and, you know, I don't even know what some of them are, but they have quirky names. Not like the Sam Adams ones, but Sierra Nevada. Why does everybody want what everybody else has?
Let's go to John in New Jersey. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, just a couple things I'll be looking at with the game today. You know, I think, obviously, everybody's been talking about the Patriots' offensive line controlling the Ravens on defensive line to give Brady time. But I think just as importantly, when the Ravens have had success against the Patriots, they've been able to run the ball. And I think the Pats' defensive line has to stop the run. I think it's going to be a big part of the game, making the Ravens one-dimensional and stopping that run. It's going to be huge, and I think they need to do that today.
I agree. And then
the other thing real quick, and then I'll comment, and then you guys can and I'll listen to what you say. And
sure.
The other thing is, all during the year, there have been two things that I've been really worried that we're going to get the Pats in the playoffs. Number one is their high number of penalties. Curious to see how that plays out today. And number two, in the first quarter, you realize you have to go all the way back to the Cincinnati game. That's the last time the Pats have scored more than 7 points in the first quarter. And sooner or later, these slow starts are going to kill them. I'd love to see them just fire out of the gate a nice 14-point first quarter to get out to a good start. And I'll let you guys go. Thanks for the call.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Before we get to that call, we're going to get to today's inactives.
Brought to you by Guardian. And no, not brought to you by Guardian. Screw them.
Okay, no.
Why did we stop that? We don't do that in postseason.
They didn't buy the playoffs. So.
I want to thank the people at Guardian.
I
for
do
being
too
a,
for the regular season.
Great
partnership.
Sponsor throughout
being
the
a great partner. Josh Boyce, Jordan Devy, Zach Moore, James White, Jonas Gray, Fred Kirsch, not happy.
Womp,
Steve Maneri and Cameron Fleming. So anybody who thought, you know, I don't care if the Ravens are good in run defense. You got to line up and run the ball at them to win this game. The fact that Cameron Fleming, Steve Maneri, and Jonas Gray are three of your inactives.
Well, Maneri was a lock for one of the inactives, but Cameron Fleming I'm a little surprised about. I thought he might be a guy that they needed in this game in case something happened to somebody, but I guess they just love Marcus Cannon.
Solder, you're fine, buddy. And if you need help, well, it's not going to be Cameron Fleming.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. Yeah, Fleming and Gray were surprises. That I'm not trying to figure out who's active. Maybe like a Malcolm Butler. I wasn't.
So
really
Alfonso
expecting.
Dennard is. Oh no, what am I thinking?
No, he's
on IR.
IR, long time
idiot.
Ago. Right away, I caught myself. Malcolm Butler is active. I'm thinking secondary. Malcolm Butler will be active.
Andy was just being quite fraudulent.
Yeah. I watched Alfonso Dennard walk to the weight room when everybody else was walking to practice the other day, and I go, how come he's not going to practice? And Paul goes, because he's on IR.
I keep forgetting.
I did, too.
I just forgot again. And I'm like, oh, wait, no.
And just for the flip side of the coin, looking at the inactives for the Ravens, I don't see anybody of note because I never even heard of the first guy. Chris Greenwood. Never heard of any. Terrence Cody is inactive, defensive tackle, way down the depth chart. Oh, old friend Casey Walker is inactive. Remember him? Pescatarian?
I do.
But, yeah, no one of any notes, not like any of the guys that were on the injury report for them that matter were inactive.
Okay, very good.
Good to go. Healthy, wealthy, wise, and ready to battle. Injuries will not be, well, I guess you can't really say that if an injury happens in the first quarter. It could be still an excuse, but.
Drake's in Texas. Hey, Drake.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you, Drake?
I'm doing great. I just want to get my prediction in. I'm thinking 41 to 24.
I'm in your ballpark, buddy. I'm in your ballpark.
All right. And also, I was just reading Nap right now. What do you guys think about John Harbaugh?
You're just taking a nap?
That
what?
The Patriots don't understand what they're getting into.
What did he say?
Oh, sorry.
John Harbaugh said what?
John Harbaugh was saying, well, John Harbaugh.
They don't know what kind of game that they're going to get today. Yes, meaning that they're going to play physical and Ravens football. It's,
right.
You know, it's the way you tell you. It's what you tell your team before a game.
Okay. All right. Well,
but it was something that I saw on the Twitter machine today that had stirred up the Patriots fans a little bit.
If I were stirred up, I'd be stirred up by that Baltimore Sun. And I know it doesn't matter. It's not like the team put out the newspaper, but. You know, that tone of, like, Flacco is the new boss type thing, and Brady's his bitch, and Brady's old school, and all that. That's what would kind of rile me up. People like me saying that he's got five straight 100-plus passer ratings and all those types of things.
And again, if you haven't seen it, what it says is the new master, and it's got a big picture of Joe Flacco, and kind of in the background is Brady walking off the field, kind of looking up at the scoreboard, like disappointed, and it reads, "The new master" is the headline. As old playoff magic eludes Patriots Tom Brady, Ravens Joe Flacco continues to dazzle. That's what it says. Who's been better in the playoffs as of late? Are they wrong to be saying that?
Well, Flacco's been better in the playoffs than anybody in football as of late.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. As of late, he's been on a good run. Five straight wins, as we said earlier. 13.
So he leads the touchdowns. Untalented team as the best quarterback.
No, I'm saying listen, I still think Tom Brady's a much better quarterback than Joe Flacco will ever be. So but if you're saying, "Hey, you know, Brady hasn't looked like Brady and Flacco's looked really good." Are they wrong? I don't think they're wrong. But that doesn't mean that I think Brady's going to continue to play that way today.
Sure. Just a little story.
You guys got nothing on that.
No. Well, no, not really. I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Just in the last time or one of the Ravens upsets that we've talked about a little bit during the week was that whole Richard Seymour trade. How is that going to affect your championship hopes? You're not as good a football team without Richard Seymour. Short, long-term goals, all that crap. Ravens ran the ball down your throat. Would have been nice to have Richard Seymour. Now, today's big topic is the offensive line and the defensive line at the end of a season in which you traded a guy who everyone would say you're better with Logan Mankins than you are without him. And how does that play out and play into what goes on the field today? If Dan Conley struggles, if Ryan Wendell struggles, if the defensive line for the Ravens dominate the Patriots, are we going to go back to some of those Logan Mankins type discussions and decisions that were made to open the year and how it put you in a tough spot late in the year?
You know, I don't think that trade made as big enough of a difference that if they lose, you point to that. And I also think
we haven't seen the game. Like, what if Andy's scenario unfolds?
Because I don't think the Patriots' offensive line is that much different than what it was with Logan Mankins. Like,
yes, but if one of your guards gets bitch slapped all day long.
I'm saying this. Okay, but we've seen the guards play well at times this year.
I don't care about at times this year. I'm talking about with your season on the line against a good defensive front.
My point to you, Andy, would be how do you know that Logan Mankins in this game today.
You don't.
I don't.
Get bitch slapped,
just like you don't know that they would have given up 200 and whatever yards rushing in that 09 playoff game if Seymour was there.
Right.
All I'm saying is that, listen, I do believe the team would be better with Mankins than without him this year.
So then it's a fair point to bring up postgame if your offensive line gets bitch slapped.
I don't think it's fair to
say. If you say a better offensive lineman didn't play.
But I don't think that that's fair to say that's the reason why and how that was something that derailed your season, because we've seen these guards play well at times. We've seen them be capable of playing the position.
But that doesn't matter. We've seen everybody play well at times. I know they're not
Logan Mankins, but like I just think that's such sour grapes at that point. Like
If Ryan Wendell gives up three sacks to Haloti Ngata and he's dominating the day, I'd say, you know what? I'd probably rather have Logan Mankins playing than Ryan Wendell at guard. I think it's very simple. I think it's pretty simple analysis.
I would just say that, listen, if you're talking about someone like Richard Seymour, like I think there was a dramatic change for the Patriots when they got rid of Richard Seymour. I thought they were a lot worse off without him. The Patriots worse off, but I don't feel
like
it's
a huge
drop-off.
We saw them play fine that season. We saw them make it to the playoffs. So using your logic, there's no reason you should have said
I just think the
drop-off
from Logan Mankins to what they have now is not as severe as it would be with a player like Richard Seymour when they moved on from him.
Yeah, I just think that's because nobody breaks down guard play.
The
only reason of that is no one breaks down guard play.
Right. I didn't like the trade.
And I know they allowed a lot of sacks last year, and they didn't allow as many this year. I think that Tom Brady was under far more pressure this year than he was last year. But, you know, I don't have sack numbers to prove that.
Oh, no. Sack-wise, they had a good year.
Pressures and hurries, according to the people who keep track of that.
I just watch games.
But that's just the way it unfolded.
I just think at some point you're going to let it go. It just wasn't a big enough drop-off.
You're not going anywhere in talk radio if you're going to let everything go.
No, I'm just saying that specific one. You know what? Because, Andy, there's too many people that want to bring that up and use it as their thing and are waiting for the Patriots lose to, and that annoys me.
You leave my thing alone.
So it's not
valid.
You want
to use that as a thing.
It's not valid.
I don't think it's as valid as those people want to make it out to be. I'm fine with you bitching about it at the time, which I did. I was at the front of the line with everyone else.
I hate when
saying,
they
fight along
with children.
I hate this trade. Do not like the trade. Think it makes the team worse. But at some point, I mean, at what point is that still valid? Like just that. So if they lose today, you want to pin it on Logan Mankins getting traded?
If I watch
all the
Ryan
stuff
Wendell,
that has happened between then and now,
if I watch Ryan Wendell get killed,
I think you're a you're
not
a
if they
troll.
Lose 41-38, I'm not going to put it on Logan Mankins.
No. Right. But
get
if,
over it.
If they can't
you
move
baby.
The ball and Ryan Wendell is
you
the reason.
Like Maz. That's what you sound
don't
like. You're trying
to
sound
say
like
that
Maz.
To me again.
Yeah, he's one of the people that's lining up for the Patriots offensive line
can I get
to
paid
not
like
play
Maz?
Well. To not play well and then bitch about the Logan Mankins trade.
Are you going to introduce our guest?
Let's go by. Actually, he didn't stink. He didn't. He was actually pretty decent.
Who?
Let's go behind enemy lines. Mankins.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Very rude of me. I was sitting here yelling as our
guest
was in the studio. Ryan Mink of Ravens.com is joining us here live in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Before we talk about this game, Ryan.
you were treating Andy the way Ryan treated Eric Scalabrino.
I just want to congratulate you. On a fine victory over Eric Scalabrino in that little back and forth you guys had the other day.
I appreciate it.
Because there were some people that wanted to award the victory to Eric Scalabrino, one of the callers here, Chester in Portland.
Damn, Chester.
I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
It was laundry. Chester was just
he's room for the laundry.
Well, he couldn't believe that Eric actually picked the Patriots. Even though he worked for us, he always picks against us.
So I thought it was a fine job
thank
the other day.
You.
But thank you.
You
for coming down here.
Of course.
And joining us in studio. We're just talking about a number of things related to this game today. But from the Ravens' perspective, from the Patriots' perspective, we've said all day and have said all week, the biggest matchup for the Patriots in this game is the Ravens' defensive front against the Patriots' offensive line. And that's kind of the thing that will dictate the way the game goes. But from the Ravens' perspective, is it the same thing?
Yeah, I would say so. The strength of the Ravens, specifically on defense, is definitely that front seven and the defensive line. That's where we kind of make our money, you know? I mean, it's really one of the best front sevens in the NFL. Look at outside linebacker. You got Suggs, you got Dumervil, Courtney Upshaw, Pernell McPhee. I mean, that's a pretty deep outside linebacker core. And then now with Timmy Jernigan is active today, with him pairing up with Lodi Nada, they can push the pocket in the middle a lot. Even McPhee is really an inside rusher. That can create problems. I think Brian Stork better have his A game today for sure against that interior rush.
We've been talking about something on the other side of the ball a lot of the week because I think everybody agrees that's the matchup.
Right.
The Ravens' best way to sort of ruin the day is
right.
with it's been the cliche, you beat Brady with pressure up the middle, all that.
Right.
But one of the interesting things I found this week was Torrey Smith coming out and saying he was preparing for a matchup with Brandon Browner and basically saying he was going to watch more Browner tape and, you know, a little bit of Revis.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he get that idea from? And for a player to come out and say something so publicly like that,
right.
is he playing any kind of a chess game where he thinks I'm preparing for him, but I'm really preparing for Revis? Or, you know, why was that seed planted in his head?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure why that was there. Anytime you face the Patriots, it is kind of like a chess game. You never know what to believe anything anybody says. I mean, it was funny. I thought the practicing outside all week was like a chess game for the Patriots, you know, and Tom Brady showing up 6 hours before the game today. Like,
yep.
Why are you, like, playing Go Fish or what is this about? Like, why are you? It's just a bunch of mental games with these two teams. I don't know why Torrey felt like it would be Browner. Probably because they feel like if they could take Steve Smith out of the game, not let him get in a rhythm, then that really hampers the offense, which it does. I mean, if Revis can shut down Steve Smith, that's going to be a problem. But I think a matchup to watch, if it is Torrey and Browner, are those PIs, you know, because Torrey has drawn a lot of pass interference calls this year, leads the NFL, and he can get over top of guys with his speed. And if Browner's grabbing, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what's called and what's not.
There's no if there.
Browner will grab, but just a matter of if a flag
I've watched
will
a
fall.
Full season, he will be grabbing.
15 penalties in 9 games.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, so Mark and I sort of talked about what the Ravens were coming in. And the one I think more of the Ravens probably than Mark does in terms of their overall talent. But what I can't get past is their poor play against quality teams.
Yeah.
And
no,
I was wondering, just as someone has watched every game and followed them, why I think it's 1-6 against teams with winning records or something. I don't.
The only team with a winning record that the Ravens beat were the Steelers.
They twice. Beat them twice. Yeah, 2-6, I guess.
You're right. So
why is that?
Well,
because there seems to be too much talent for that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for the Steelers specifically, I think they can beat them because it's the Steelers. You know, we know each other so well, it doesn't matter what happens all year. You know, it's going to be a close game with them. But as far as the other teams, it's just been a bevy of reasons. I mean, the secondary is a huge reason. Anytime we face a good quarterback, for the most part, other than Big Ben, you know, the secondary's got lit up for the most part. You know, I mean, even against some subpar quarterbacks, they've lit up our secondary because all of the injuries there, it's been a problem all year long. Jimmy Smith could have been a Pro Bowl corner this year had he not gotten injured. That was a huge loss. So it's really been kind of shuffling the deck back there, and it hasn't worked against top-tier quarterbacks. So that's obviously the concern for Ravens fans today because, you know, Tom Brady's obviously one of the best in the biz, and they have plenty of receivers that can torch those guys. So it falls on that front seven. They've got to almost protect the secondary for the Ravens.
That's certainly what they did last week.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As I look behind you on the NFL Network, they're talking about Joe Flacco and his last five postseason games and those 100 passer ratings, the 13 touchdowns, I think, no interceptions, all that. And, you know, Harbaugh and Flacco have a nice little tandem here. I think they have 10 playoff wins together. They're putting together, I mean, Patriots fans would get mad, but, you know, it's sort of the early 2000s Patriots with Belichick and Brady coming together.
We hope so.
Oh, yeah.
God,
why are they so good in the postseason? You know, they sort of sneak in. They might be a wild card team. They're a little inconsistent. Why are they so good in the postseason?
I think it goes back to Joe's personality. I think that he's a guy, we all know, he's very calm under pressure. You know, I mean, he hardly any expressions on his face. But he's also a guy that likes kind of the pressure on, the back against the wall, nothing to lose. And I think the Ravens have gone into the playoffs with that mentality a number of times as a wild card team. You know, nobody's picking them, not high expectations. And they just – Joe thrives in that kind of situation, two-minute drills. You know, we see it during the regular season. He's best during those times. So it's kind of when he's just out there slinging the ball, not thinking, you know, and can just go out and play. That's when I think he plays his best football.
Well, speaking to his mentality, there was a few years ago where he had, like, the incident with the skateboarding or something outside of his house. And then he had those weird press conferences with the "I'll never be what people want me to be" and all that stuff. Has he kind of matured from where he was a few years ago? In terms of that front,
I think that he's
because on the field he's gotten better.
Joe's become, I think, a lot more cocky. I would say is
or confident. You could go either one, right?
I like the cockiness. I mean, I love it. I think that, like, you know, when he came in, he was obviously a rookie, and he kind of paid his dues and shut his mouth, and, you know, let some of those leaders like Ray Lewis and those guys lead the team. And as it's gone along, and as you get a few victories under your belt, you kind of become the big boy on the block. You know, you get a lot of money, and it makes you feel a lot more confident too. But his other than that, I mean, he's become confident, cocky. He's just the same guy. That's what I love about Joe, is that he's like you or I. He's just a guy in your basement that loves to play air hockey. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so average Joe. And the skateboarding thing speaks to it. You know, like, yeah, I was out skateboarding. I wanted to, whatever. You know, like, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He doesn't care about any of that. It's just
so
funny.
You can buy a really nice air hockey table for like
$100. Probably. Yeah. That would be a sick air hockey table. Yeah. He's probably got a foosball. He's got everything.
It's got real ice on it.
Right.
Real
ice.
let me ask you one of the things that we all talk about every week, Andy especially loves Rob Gronkowski, we all do. Mm-hmm. No one has been able to really slow him down. On paper, it wouldn't seem the Ravens have the personnel to do it, but I'm curious about the safety situation. It looks like Will Hill plays all the time, and then the other three kind of play like a third of the time.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
really been a rotating
disappointment.
Cast.
Yeah, I mean, I just was wondering about that. Jeremy Miles, one of your guys, Peter.
Yeah, UMass man, yeah.
There you go.
It's one of those three.
Yeah, it's mostly been Darian Stewart alongside Will Hill recently. Darian's been playing pretty well. Came up, had a big game in Pittsburgh, had an interception, knocked Antonio Brown out of bounds right before a touchdown catch. So he's been playing well. I think as far as Gronkowski, it mostly falls on Will Hill probably. He's the guy that matched up earlier this year in New Orleans against Jimmy Graham, who's, you know, kind of Gronk-esque, I guess. He's not as big and physical as Gronk, but he played a lot of one-on-one kind of matchups, trying to get physical with him. I don't know how physical Will Hill can get with Gronkowski and expect to win. I think Gronk would win the majority of those.
Ask Sergio Brown. He ended up in a camera truck about 15 yards off the field.
He threw him out the club.
Well, what I'd be interested to see is for the Ravens, like we've been saying, the interior pressure, I think, is really what's going to be the difference, more than like the outside pass rush by Suggs and Dumerville.
I would agree with that.
And so I wonder if the Ravens are, and I don't know if this is going to be the case, I wonder if they're going to use Suggs and Upshaw to really beat up Gronk off the line of scrimmage. Because if there's guys who can match up physically with them, an outside linebacker could beat him up a little bit on the line of scrimmage, then release him to a safety. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of game plan they give.
On the other side, you know, we've talked about the Ravens pass rush, Patriots pass protection. Mm-hmm. How about we flip that? And the Patriots probably have a better pass rush than they've had in a long time, not just with Jones healthy and Ninkovich, but
right.
Collins up the middle, Hightower up the middle, Ayers. How is this? I know Monroe has been banged up. How is his health? What do you expect from him? And just overall in terms of that pass protection?
Yeah, well, Monroe's active today, so he's active for the first time in two games now. He's missed the past two. So that should help in terms of pass protection. I mean, it's God bless James Hurst for the job he did, the undrafted rookie, but I'll take Eugene Monroe at left tackle as opposed to an undrafted rookie. So I think that helps a lot with Chandler Jones specifically. What I'm concerned about is that pass rush up the middle, like you mentioned. You know, I think that that's something, when you look at the Houston game, that was a big problem, is bringing those inside linebackers right over the center, getting quick pressure up the middle and having Joe throw off his back foot. That's what the Ravens cannot afford to have. And if the Patriots have success with that early on, it can sometimes take the Ravens out of their play-action game because they need to use that running back as a blocker to kind of stem the tide of the middle. So that can be a problem if the Patriots hit on it early.
Just, you know, let's wrap it, Beetle. It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
You got a pick for this game,
Ryan?
This
is what we do. Oh, yeah, I got a pick.
What do you think? How do you see this one going?
I'm nervously say I'm going to pick the Ravens. The funny thing is like it's hard to pick an underdog.
You're not changing off that Scalabino
interview. I'm not going to change.
He didn't change your opinion, huh?
No, I'm not going to change. I mean, it's always
the fact that he won a picks contest with a bunch of chubby, bald, middle-aged sports writers didn't sway your opinion in any way.
No, I'll take the Ravens. I think it's going to be a very, very close game. How about this? I think the team that has the ball last probably wins this game.
Ooh, tight one.
Wow, looking for a real tight one.
Type game.
Yeah.
And Billy Cundiff's gone, so you guys might be better off without Billy Cundiff taking the last shot.
Yeah, I seriously watched the Lee Evans drop today. I was just to remind me of the heartache that we had felt in this building. I don't know why I did that.
That was a Sterling Moore pass defense. It wasn't
cost us 2 weeks of work.
God, that still makes me cry inside.
Yeah, you should. that was right in the end zone that we the press box, and I still can't believe he dropped that pass.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I thought the game was over.
Nightmares.
I thought it was over.
And nightmares.
Just dropped it.
Ryan Mink of Ravens.com, thanks so much for coming down here and doing it in person. It's always better
when we get our guests on the phone.
So we will, I guess, talk to you again maybe next season. But thanks for stopping by.
This seems to be an annual January thing.
I mean,
you guys come to Foxborough.
This is going to be the eighth time they've played each other since 2009.
Maybe one day, we'll pretty regular have you down thing. At M&T. That would be great.
I wouldn't mind that. I like Baltimore.
I do, too.
Nice. All right, good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
We're going to take a timeout here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. When we come back, we're actually going to pick some playoff games. We'll do a playoff edition of the six-pack. That's on the way.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
So Andy won the regular season, right, on the picks?
Correct. Are you surprised?
A little bit.
You should.
Surprised at how bad I am at it.
I'm not.
Surprised how bad Paul did this year.
Andy wins by one game
over Mark. And,
I don't know
Paul
if you heard.
Four games back.
One game is all that matters. Adam Vinatieri won a Super Bowl by a field goal. I'm pretty sure the ring was the same. The celebration was the same.
A lot of suspense heading into that last week.
Let's pick some playoff games.
Carolina. Woo. Carolina tonight at Seattle. Seattle by 11.5.
Who's going first?
I like Seattle. I think Carolina has all the earmarks of that team that is just happy to be there and celebrating at the end of that game last week that they won at home with the team pitchers and stuff on the sideline. I think Seattle's rested. I think they look better than they have. They've been getting better every week down the stretch. The defense has been suffocating, and I think that continues tonight.
Yeah, I can't trust Ron Rivera to keep it close up there.
Plus, the game plan might have burnt up. I am gonna.
That is not cool.
No, in all seriousness, Starlo Tulele.
Oh, that wasn't serious.
Their defensive tackle goes down against Marshawn Lynch and the Steelers. That doesn't seem like a good start to going into Seattle and pulling the upset. Seattle with the best home field advantage in the postseason of anybody. It feels like a blowout. And by the way, did you notice there's talk?
It feels like to me.
Wilson's about to get paid.
Well, they got
His deal can get reworked.
Highest, at some point, but right? They've already been working on it, and he's immediately going to become the highest ever. He's getting a huge deal. No,
the highest quarterback ever.
Yeah,
that seems a little crazy.
Wow. Yeah,
he's good, but he's not the best ever.
Now here's where Patriots fans will say, "See, those Brady comparisons are off. Brady didn't make it to the highest ever. He never saw every lost penny." Paul.
Well, I mean, that's true in some ways, but
such a fraud. I mean, turn the mics off and see what he says to them.
Very few guys have made more money in the NFL in Brady's career than Brady.
All right, let's go
Peyton
to the
Manning,
next.
I think, would be the only
we'll
one.
We'll skip ahead to tomorrow, Mark. We'll skip over the game today.
Well, you already skipped over it. You started with the late game.
Yeah, whatever. Dallas at Green Bay. Green Bay by 6.5.
I'm going to take Green Bay in that one, even with Aaron Rodgers and his issues. Which, by the way, is he going to stop talking about it, or is he just going to go play the damn game?
Wow. You are such a typical Patriots
you
fan.
You hate a lot of different people. It's really, well, I like it. It's great.
That's,
you have a lot of
people. Will you get out there and play the game,
you,
big
you,
fella?
You hate a lot of different people.
But that's not Mark Bertram. That's Mark from Quincy.
Yeah. I like it, though. I'm from Everett.
Go play the game, Aaron. My God.
I think this is a fascinating football game.
I don't know if I'll play the way I'm supposed to play or I'll be myself, but I'm going to try.
After I see Rodgers play the first series, I'll let you know who's going to win.
This is
no, I'm taking the Packers
to win.
He was
put on just to torture me.
This is something you can appreciate about the Patriots. Are you playing or not playing? That's the question. I'm playing. Good. That's the last we'll hear about it.
Well, until later when they use the excuse.
Okay, that's okay. It's better to have it later.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, wait a minute.
The Patriots.
He's so Mark from Quincy.
Hold on a second,
Andy. If the Patriots do it,
Andy,
it's okay.
No, Andy, because it's not used just in defeat. It's used when they win, too. You find out about stuff after the fact. Yes, you do, even in victory. You find out both in losses
obviously,
and in wins.
Because we don't find out anything.
I would rather hear about it after the fact than before the game.
I don't really care.
I think we've heard about Brady's calf injury before the opener, didn't we?
Yes.
It's kind of unavoidable.
And his ankle injury.
Oh, my God. The
therapy he had to go through to get
on
the field.
Did you hear about it from Brady?
You didn't hear about the injury originally from Rodgers. He's heard about him talking about it now.
Okay, but I'm not talking about hearing about the injury. I'm talking about the player talking about the injury going into the game.
I think he had a quote that said something about thinking he'll be fine or something like that to Tom Curran. Did he not?
Who?
Brady?
Tom,
I mean, that's not really all that important in this grand scheme of things. I'm going to take the points with Dallas here. I think Dallas has the makings of a team that can give Green Bay trouble at Lambeau in their ability to run the football. If Murray stays healthy enough to do it, holds on to the ball, which is a concern with him because he does tend to fumble. I think they can run the ball and grind the clock. And I am worried about that injury with Rodgers because I think a lot of what makes him so good is his ability to improvise. We saw it against the Patriots when he moved around. And if he can't do that, he's still great, but maybe not quite as great. I think Dallas is going to keep it close. I think Green Bay wins, but Dallas covers.
It's going to be cold up there.
Indy at Denver. Denver.
By the way,
no
one wants to see Chris Christie jumping up and down and humping Jerry
Jones.
And
he's going
to
be there.
Who did you take, Andy?
Oh, Packers.
Okay.
Sorry, Kevin. Indy, Denver?
7.5. I'll take Denver to cruise. I don't think the Colts are a very good football team. I don't think they're going to stop the run. I still have visions of Darius Butler failing to cover Rex Burkhead in the slot. The weapons that the Broncos are going to put on the field are much better. And C.J. Anderson can pull the Jonas Gray, run the ball. Manning will make the throws he needs to. I think they're going to cruise.
Everything Andy just said. I'll take Denver.
That one you went quick on. I know.
Yeah. No, we thought we had to get
suddenly
some time.
Mark turned into Fred and doesn't give any analysis.
Everything Andy said is exactly what I would say. So
Denver.
I felt no need
Baltimore,
to.
Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Baltimore at New England. New England by 6.5.
New England.
You have to give analysis of this game, you idiot.
Yeah,
I've done nothing but give analysis of this game today.
Yeah, we'll continue to talk about it. I'm with Beadle. I think the Patriots cover. I don't think this is going to be an easy game, though. I know a lot of people do. A lot of people are predicting a blowout. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I like the Patriots to win because of the defense breaking the script of the last 5 or 6 years.
I like how Mink called out the secondary for the Ravens, told us how much they sucked.
Yeah. And they've really struggled, by the way, against good quarterbacks. Ruh-roh. Brady.
Wait, it's the postseason, so you're not sure.
Well, you know, we'll see if the postgame show was singing the same tune.
I'll go Gronk. Gronk
really?
Beat the Ravens.
Really?
Okay. 40-20.
I didn't see that coming.
Spread them, shred them, and spike them.
Did not see
Very
that
simple.
Coming. Gronk, huh? Yeah, I didn't take you to
Buck
be a
80,
Gronk guy.
Buck 80 and 2 touchdowns. And then he's going to have Goon pick him up in the sinner's bus, and boy, are they going to sin in there.
So there you go. We'll do this again.
Motorboating.
What?
Can't say it.
Okay. Okay. Let's, you know who was on the line he dropped off was Chester. I wanted to go to Chester.
Oh.
Called him out today. Thought he was wrong on a few things.
See?
you see that, Chester? Let's go to Pat in Agawam. Hi, Pat.
Pat!
Hey, guys.
What's up, Pat?
How's the Lubin?
How you doing?
Hey, the Lubin's going good. Hey, Mark, I wanted to say congratulations on the Twins.
Thank you, Patrick.
Paul Perillo, going back to this past week, I wanted to say that I've always hated the Dolphins more than the Jets.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice
Andy,
to have a partner.
Hi.
Hey!
She just said hi.
What's up, girl?
When are yours coming?
I think they're going to be coming in May.
Oh, Pat, do you have kids yet? I think we've talked about this before. Or is this your first?
No, we both have kids.
Oh, yeah. So just wait for this. Wait till you
it's the Brady
already have
bunch.
Kids and then throw in twins.
Yeah, there's a good age gap, too. You know, the two older kids are 15 and my daughter is going to be 13.
Those are called babysitters.
That's a good thing, man. Never mind.
You take the kids. We're out
good
of here.
For you. There's one older kid for each twin.
That is true.
That is brilliant, Pat.
And I think today comes, you know, it's the triumph for Dandy. It's going to come down to Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and, you know, the reason why we went out and got Revis from the offseason was to win this game and the next game.
And the game after that.
And you know what? It's what we always talked about. I know the specifics we've talked about all year with those three. But, Paul, how many years did we spend the spring? They need playmakers. They got no one to make plays in the postseason.
And we got them.
And you got playmakers. Now
we got them. That's why
the
I have the confidence that I have today.
You should. Gronkowski.
I think we get a big special teams play today, too.
See, that'll be interesting because they have good special teams, too. And they have a ballsy kick returner who, depending on the cold and the wind, you're not going to get your usual touchbacks in all likelihood today because he'll bring them out if he has the chance to bring them out, about a buck nine. So I'm not sure. I think there will be a play in the kicking game that we're talking about in the Xbox One postgame show. I just don't know what type of big play and who's going to make it.
See if they get another punt blocked like last week.
Yeah.
I think Edelman brings one back. That's what I'm thinking.
Edelman bringing it to the house. I like that prediction.
All right, Pat, thanks for the call, man.
All right, guys.
Enjoy the game. Let's go to Nathan in Southern California. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Probably warmer there.
It's beautiful out here. It's about 70 degrees.
All right, don't rub it in.
That's okay. You don't have a football team. We do.
Yeah, it's okay, but every woman around here walks around in bikinis.
Damn, he's got us there.
Kicking the stones. What would you rather have, boobs or football?
Both.
That's a good point. You're living a pretty good life, my friend.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Well, I just wanted to bring something to you guys. I really want to see our O-line get chippy. I know we got some rookies on the O-line, and I want to see them get out there, get chippy with some of the defensive linemen. I want to see Logan Mankins punch Haloti Ngata in the nuts. I know he's not on the team, but I'd love to see him run out of the stands.
That would be so. That would be unbelievable.
And
that would be
not
awesome.
Out of the realm that he's here. He's still good friends with everybody. His family still lives here. There's a chance he's here.
Talked about how tight he was
right.
still with Conley and Wendell.
Imagine if he ran out in the field. What, are you going to flag me? I don't even play for either team.
What a story.
Exactly.
What a story.
Exactly.
That would be great. By
and
the
then,
way, did
and
you?
And then Pete Morelli would say, "There's no foul on the play."
Right. You brought up the young offensive lineman. Mink kind of did call out.
I like how you're calling him Mink.
Storky. You know, we'll see if Stork's ready. I know he's played well, but we'll see if he's ready for this. Kind of called out Storky.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, there has been no talk of him.
No.
And he's got a lot on his plate this week.
No question.
With, you know, with the big guys up front and whether or not they move around, that Brandon Williams, Nada, and he talked about, who's the other guy he talked about? Not Canty. The other guy who's back, why can I not think of his name? Oh, Jernigan. Timmy Jernigan.
Oh, Jernigan.
Who didn't play last week. So, yeah, that could be a big difference.
I always think of journeyman with
him. Well, I like how they call him Timmy Jernigan. It's like little Timmy Jernigan, except for he's like 350 pounds. You know?
Yeah.
Little Timmy.
Yeah, they got some veterans on their D-line, and I'm a little bit worried about our O-line because we got some rookies against some veterans, and I know that in the past our O-line hasn't fared very well on their one-on-ones, and I know the communication's been an issue, so I really want to see him get out, get chippy, let him know that, you know what, we're younger O-line, but you're not going to push us around. And I want to see Brady get in Suggs' face like he did in Ray Lewis's face in 2011. That, nothing amped me up more than that, and I really want to see that again. But thank you, guys. Looking forward to hearing you after the postgame show.
All right, Nathan.
Thanks, bud.
Appreciate it.
If you see Brady getting like that, it's a good sign. Because he does that after a touchdown or a first down run or hops up and spikes it and gives that signal. Usually he's doing that when he's feeling good and it's rolling, not if he's on his back, he's usually heading towards the sideline sulking.
Get back to some emails, webradio@patriots.com. Matthias writes in, hi guys.
Kiwanuka? Uh-oh, Brady's going to poop himself. Flashbacks.
Not Kiwanuka.
Jebediah?
Writes, hey, guys, read a tweet citing Willie McGinnis saying, I expect him to never leave, talking about Darrell Revis.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up. I saw that, and I retweeted that comment from McGinnis. Then I also saw a tweet from Jeff Howe that said that he expects the negotiations to be quick after this, you know, whenever the season's over, that he's going to be...
That could be good or bad, though.
He's going to resign. I mean, I don't have the tweet in front of me, so I don't want to... even try to paraphrase it, but the tenor of it was
positive.
He expects him to be re-signed and before March 10th, which is the start of the new league year, you know, so that new
bonus
option doesn't have to be come into play in any way.
So Matthias
Quick could also
this,
be right. Like,
right.
Seems
we're
going to pay you $3 million.
There seems to be a groundswell. Yeah, there seems to be a groundswell of opinion that he will be returning to New England, which is great news.
So I wonder if, do you think that what happens in the playoffs is any kind of bearing
on playoffs?
That?
No, and it's interesting because we talked about
that. I'm just going to keep going, Paul.
If he wins the Super Bowl, does he now say, now it's about the money? I got
my
Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm
curious
about.
Because that's what I thought might be the case.
Yeah, that was what I was worried about, unless he just likes it so much here. And I have to tell you, based on the eyeball test, he likes it so much here.
He does.
He appears to be really enjoying his time as a Patriot.
And just to be fair, I like him here. And not just on the field. We were sold, I think, a little bit of a cantankerous or
crusty. That's how New York
crusty.
Kind of made him out to be.
I have not seen that ever. Now, maybe that'll change or something will change that. I don't know. But I have seen nothing but a friendly, easygoing with teammates, media, coaches, PR people. I've seen nothing but good stuff from Darrell Revis.
I would agree.
Yes.
So pay the man.
Dan in San Antonio wants to let us know that the
but only
closer,
if you still have money to pay me.
The closer they get to game time, the higher the stress level. He's not sure he can handle it. The drinking is helping so far.
Well, don't worry. After the first series, I'm telling you, you'll know what's going to happen.
You'll be able to stop drinking after the first series.
Poll Center update
or
coming
start
in.
Drinking heavily.
From the Poll Center, the Patriots Facebook page at facebook.com/New England Patriots. Other than Flacco, who's the most important player to stop on the Ravens? Torrey Smith, Steve Smith Sr., Justin Forsett, or other?
I'm going to say Justin Forsett just because the old cliche. You can't let him be balanced.
Got to
make him
one-dimensional.
And not only that, he's not necessarily a workhorse guy. He's a playmaker. And I don't want to see a guy that's sort of getting through the front line and making those linebackers and safeties make tackles. You miss a tackle.
Tackling. Write that down. Tackling.
So I will say Don't let Justin
Forsett. It's been a bit of a problem for this team, has it not?
Periodically. Periodically.
Tackling. Don't let Forsett get going.
Steven, write this down. Tackling.
I saw Bob Costas take have to get a golf cart ride to his dressing room. He couldn't walk in. Who the bleep does he think he is?
Bob Costas.
I don't care for it.
You upset about it?
Evidently.
Yeah, I used to love Bob Costas, and I thought he got more arrogant and pompous over the years, and now these, like, halftime soliloquies and crap.
Not a big fan of the essay?
How do you know that it wasn't just offered to him and he took it?
What?
How do you know that he, like, demanded a golf cart ride?
I'm just assuming.
I'm willing to bet that they take care of those types of elite media people.
I do, too. That's how I would.
That's how I would interpret that.
They didn't give me a ride.
Yeah, because you and I suck. So does Paul. We're not elite.
That's true.
Done. There you go.
That hurts.
It's like, don't they drive the guys? And listen, people who are listening have no idea what I'm about to be talking about. They drive them from here when they come into the stadium out back to the booth, right? They go up the ramp with them.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, they don't take an elevator. They put them in a golf cart. They drive them to the booth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way it is. I guess you grease the palms.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow.
I mean, in terms of media people.
You look like a pet.
In terms of media people. Yeah. In terms of media people in the building, I would say typically the people calling the game are the most important that are typically here, right? They are the ones bringing
but
the game.
We know the fans are
going to
bitch
wider.
About them no matter what.
Yeah,
virtually.
That's okay. I'm just
that,
saying.
Oh, they hate our team. Oh,
I'm
they
just saying they're important
to
the game.
They're rooting for the other team.
They bring
oh, they
the game
say
to
Flacco's
the
good. Oh, they can't say Flacco's good. All that.
Do you want to give a shout out to your guest here, by the way,
yes.
Since people don't know what you're talking about?
My friend Anna, a long time. How long? Since the beginning.
Since the beginning.
PFW. The PFW in progress. Pregame social listener and a very generous woman who contributed to not only my marathon fund, but which is obviously the Patriots Charitable Foundation fund last year. Basically because she felt bad for me because I had to run a second marathon. And she thought I took a kick in the stones, essentially, thanks to the Bombers. So, you know, very nice lady. And now she's here today in the supporting. She's what are you, Gronk jersey? See, I knew I liked you.
Gronk.
She's rocking the Gronk, although because
it looks
she has
brand
so
new. You buy
on.
That today?
She,
yes. Yeah. Yes. I was going to say, that thing looks fresh.
She does,
I couldn't rewear some of the others because they've lost.
Couldn't we wear some of the others?
There's been some losing jerseys. So you're superstitious about it.
Everything.
You're superstitious about the jerseys. That's
well, I like
okay.
That.
I like that. I do
so
like
she's
that.
Ready
doesn't
for
matter,
a buck
but
80
I like
and
it.
Two
I used to wear, I used to have a Richard Seymour jersey, like how I worked this in after I defended Seymour just a few minutes ago. That I used to wear, and I think the Patriots were unbeaten in the playoffs, and I wore the Seymour jersey. I don't think they ever lost. I'm not even kidding.
I know, but they were unbeaten in the playoffs for 10 games.
I don't think they lost a game.
They
didn't lose a game with that thing on.
It was a 10-game stretch.
Why wouldn't you just wear it every game?
Because I didn't have it in when they played Denver out there. What was that, 06?
Yeah. They lost.
No, 05.
I didn't have it with me because I was away from home. I was traveling at the time. And I didn't have it with me, and I couldn't wear it.
So you're the reason they lost. That was the first loss.
I wasn't home. I wasn't home. I wasn't in the same spot. It wasn't in my spot to watch the game either.
But you didn't pack it?
I was. Where was I?
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
But anyway, because I didn't have it, I didn't wear it, and they lost that game, and I thought that was it. The run was over. I couldn't then wear it again. I had to retire.
Then he wore it for the first 18 games in 07 and didn't wear it for the Super Bowl.
But that was the run. It ended with that Seymour jersey. It was nice. Had the Super Bowl 36 patch on it. It was sick. It was awesome. Sick. But sick.
Little
Marky from Quincy just reliving the good old days.
Alex in Chicago. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's up,
great.
Alex?
It's actually funny you guys are just talking about superstitions because that's what I was calling to tell you guys about. As a Pats fan, I have about like 100 different superstitions that I have to go through game day.
You might need to see somebody about that.
Oh,
I actually follow the Patriots and NFL on Instagram and Facebook and all that.
You wash your hands 4,000 times a day.
They'll post and they'll say, "Who do you think is going to win, the Patriots or you know the Ravens?" And I see all these Pats fans and all like, "We're going to blow out the Ravens, 50-0." They're all positive and everything. So one of my superstitions, I'll comment and I'll say, "Pats are going to lose, but I'm still Pats Nation all day."
You,
Pats are going to lose, but you're Pats Nation all day.
That's one of those superstitions
right.
That, and I know people like that that can't say that they think their team's going to win
Coo-coo.
Because they feel like that
Coo-coo.
Will mean they'll
no
lose.
No offense.
Coo-coo. They'll jinx them.
That is some crazy
like
stuff.
Like if you get your plane reservations now for Phoenix, that means that the Patriots will not go to the Super Bowl.
Well, that I think is a legitimate jinx.
So, hey, back to the poll. Here
okay.
Were the results. the results on the poll were this.
Anybody get Owen Daniels in there? Other getting any?
Other got 2%.
2%. Owen Daniels.
Forsett was the leader. He had 59%.
I think Forsett is
Steve Smith had 27%. Torrey Smith had 11%.
Well, Paul, speaking of polls, did you notice our Make Your Case Friday poll where we discussed the bad matchups and different things? It's the lines. Because you had it was Solder versus Suggs.
Right.
You had the interior line versus and you had Doomerville versus Vollmer. Those three got 91% of the vote or something ridiculous.
Absolutely. I took something just to do something different because I kind of agree with Beadle in that the controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the pass rush is the key to the game.
You know, games are won in the trenches.
Well, this one certainly will be.
Battle is won before it's fought.
Well, speaking of in the trenches, Alex in Somerset writes,
See,
in Paul.
He's tired of you.
Alex writes, Paul, you credit all of Gray's amazing game against the Colts on the offensive line, giving no credit to Gray. Now you say the offensive line has been awful all season?
No.
Let's be consistent here. And please, no, okay, there's one good game answer. Please, Alex.
Yeah, that's not what I said. What I said was I don't feel like that the offensive line got fixed to the extent that people have described it in the seven-game winning streak. I think they were better in the seven-game winning streak than they were early and late.
And more,
but I don't think they were great in that stretch.
More,
now, that night, Tom Brady was under a lot of pressure every time he threw the ball. Caused two interceptions.
And
that very game.
And it's irrelevant whether they're better than the Colts and then not better than the Ravens. I mean, they're different matchups.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That makes
but
no sense.
He didn't get sacked that night, but pressure caused him to throw two picks.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No sacks. But
no sacks, mind you.
Heavy pressure caused two interceptions. Especially the second one.
One more email. Chris in San Diego writes, Gronk and pillage. That's how it's going to go, boys.
You better believe it.
Feel free to use that for the next couple of weeks. Nice. Use it for the cover, and I'll buy lunch.
We can't use that for the cover.
Not be very politically correct.
Yeah, it has bad connotations.
Well, no, because you're taking out the bad word.
But what's the bad word symbolizing?
Yeah, you're replacing true. It. It's like equating Gronk to a bad word.
If that's how it's being interpreted, then yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that.
All right. Want to send a quick shout out of appreciation to Tim and Joe at the Stadium Tavern in Indianapolis.
Those are our peeps right a stone's throw away.
For taking care of me when I was there a few weeks ago. He had actually, Chris had actually emailed us when he was out there and said, where do you go? And we told him, go to Stadium Tavern. And he said, thank them for taking care of me when I was there a few weeks ago and watching the Pats. Great guys, class acts. He gives his prediction. Pats 37, Ravens 17. Chris and Sandy.
I like it. We're in the ballpark, baby. 40-20, 37-17. I like it.
Let's take our final time out here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll talk more with you after this as we get ready for Pat's Ravens coming up next hour.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio. Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Have a prediction for today's game? Let us know about it on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email your prediction to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Mark, Andy, and Paul on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Just heard that spot there for the Pro Shop. I was over there today. Got some of those hats, by the way.
Those things are like gold.
You would not believe the rush on the Pro Shop this morning for those hats. The blue ones with the throwback logo on them, very hot item. Very hot item. They ran out of those real quick.
Well, every time they show like these live shots of crowds and the media in front of it, everybody has them on. They're going, I mean, ridiculous.
So if you want one of those hats, I will sell you mine for $500. That's all it's going to take.
$500.
If you're looking for one, $500, I'll sell you mine.
I'll sell you mine. Yeah. Steven Gostkowski wore for $1,000.
See, that game-worn hat.
I can't guarantee game-worn. Locker room-worn.
I'll issue the certificate of authenticity for that. Don't you worry.
Beatles collectibles.
Attleboro-worn.
I'll get Gostkowski to sign the certificate saying he wore it on the sideline. How much will you pay for that?
He's going to actually write he wore it during a field goal. But he had a helmet on.
No, you don't understand. No, I had it on under the helmet.
Kickers are tough.
You just didn't see it.
We don't need hats.
You just didn't see it. That's all. 855. What do you mean, what have we missed?
What have we missed? We got 15 minutes to go.
We've got to go inside the press box.
I know, and that'll offer nothing. So what have we missed? What have we missed?
He's on the line, so he heard that.
I know. That's why I said it. I would never say anything behind his back.
Well, let's talk about what we missed after the fact.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, we go high above the turf at Gillette Stadium to talk with Eric Scalavino, who's inside the press box here. Eric, let's start with this. You there?
Nothing to offer, Mark.
All right, then.
All right, good talking to you, Eric. We'll talk to you hopefully next week.
Okay, great.
let's start with this. What are you seeing out in the field, offensive linemen warming up? Does everyone look healthy, ready to go? That's the big matchup here. Can you tell us anything on that front?
Yeah, they do. It looks like the starting five that got them through most of the season is back intact and ready to go. I didn't expect any less. They've been practicing on a limited basis in some cases for the past couple of weeks. So I was anticipating seeing those five back out there, and that's what I'm seeing right now. Is they just in 7-on-7 right now, but during the O line and the D line are going against each other off to the side, and that's the good news for the Patriots O line. Their starting five is back out there.
Eric, the other aspect of the offense that's obviously a minor health concern, I think, or some level health concern. You have Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell have been dealing with injuries. What have you seen from those two guys, not just in receiver duties, but also for Edelman, I would ask, about potential special teams duties?
Yeah, well, I'll start with him since he's gotten a lot of the reps in the preseason, pregame here. He didn't come out until very late in the special teams period, the very beginning when the kickers are out here and then some of the return specialists come out. Danny Amendola got pretty much all of the kickoff and punt return reps. Very end, Jeff Edelman came out, took a few, I'd say maybe a half dozen punt returns reps, but looked fine. Didn't show any signs of being limited in any way. So that's good news. And then route running, he and LaFell were both running crisp routes in their warm-ups. So LaFell, with that toe injury, a little bit more of a concern maybe for how he plants and cuts and that kind of thing, but he seems to be doing fine in warm-ups.
I'm curious. I'm going to play a little of Eric's side of the street here. The kicking game and what you've seen from the kickers, in a pretty cold day, low 20s, not probably a pleasant day to kick the ball. Have you seen what kind of range the kickers have out there? Can you tell yet?
Yeah, they were out here early, both of them, Justin Tucker and Steve Kostowski, and it didn't look like the ball was when it gets to be this temperature, the ball's very hard. It feels like you're kicking a rock. But these guys were, the two of the best in the league, and they were drilling them from, 50, 55 yards, not having too much of a problem. Both of them were hitting the net at both ends of the field and were both accurate for the most part. So it doesn't look like there's not really much of a wind out here right now, and those two guys look like they were on target as usual.
Does weather, have you noticed, I know it's going to be whatever, 20, 18, 17. How have you seen, obviously the heaters are out there, but do you see players looking cold, I guess, from afar, or how do you observe the conditions?
No, not really. I'd say maybe half the Patriots have no sleeves. Some of them are going with one layer of long sleeves, but nobody seems to be uncomfortable in any way. And kind of the same thing with the Ravens. They also practice cold weather this week, so I think they're pretty accustomed to what we're going to see tonight.
and no precipitation. It's a nice, sunny, clear day right now. Nothing expected for later tonight except just dipping temperatures, but nobody seems to be the worst for the wear at this point.
And could you just give fans a quick update? I know some of them care about this. What is Bill Belichick wearing?
Well, let me see if I can find them. The group of coaches here, I can't really find him at the moment, Andy, but I will tweet it out as soon as I do. I know they're probably concerned that he's wearing a...
better have the gray on.
A jacket, a blue hoodie, a gray hoodie, a Lord only knows what hoodie. Devlin going sleeveless, I like it.
Yeah, of course. All the coaches I'm seeing are wearing blue right now, except for Steven Belichick, who has a gray hoodie on.
Steven, write this down. Gray hoodie.
For Steven.
Yeah, we heard you. Yeah. Hey, Eric, you run into Ryan Mink up there, Ravens.com? You
see
him
at all? Talking smack.
I was actually kind of worried for him because he told me he was going to be appearing on the pregame social in studio, and I was a little worried about how you guys were going to treat him.
We congratulate him on the ass victory he put on you on that show.
Oh, you guys are such frauds. Absolute frauds.
We did. That's what we did.
One last thing. The last time the Ravens were here, you guys remember this. I think you saw it. When Ray Lewis gave one of the most stunning pregame speeches we've ever heard, you know, you guys were in the radio studio. I think you could hear it from out there.
Yep.
He really got his team rocking. Well, they gathered in that same end zone, the one closest to the press box here, right before they exited to go back to their locker room. And it looked like it might have been Suggs who was leading that charge. It was kind of hard to tell. But it certainly wasn't anywhere near the sort of raucous, blood-curdling kind of raw emotion that Lewis produced the last time he was here. And they all kind of, I mean, when he finished that one, they all kind of ran into the locker room, that one a couple of years ago. They were kind of walking back this time. Nobody really seemed overly inspired by whoever was giving the talk. So just a little intangible to note for this, okay. This rivalry.
Noted. All right. Very good.
Eric, we will see you in a few minutes. Save some food.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric. Dave in Connecticut's been waiting patiently. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well, Dave. You ready for the game?
Oh, yeah. Little kid waiting for Christmas. Just about ready to happen.
I hear you.
You know, you guys are on most of the keys for the game. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's going to come down to our offensive line.
Here's a couple of
X-factors I'd like to see. I know Bolden just signed an extension, so... I think he's going to be playing a little bit more in the game with Gray out. And LaFell, I think he's going to have a big game here. Because this secondary isn't the same secondary that the Ravens normally have.
Yeah, their secondary is the weakness of the defense.
Yeah, they're all injured. They're all on IR. So,
if the front seven doesn't get it done, then the secondary will be toast.
That's the spot to exploit. Yeah, that's where the Patriots have to win the game.
I think, you know, he's going to just play 60 minutes there, complete. Patriot football, you know, run the ball, pass the ball, have those two things complement each other. Defensively, I think Jones is going to have a big game. You know, I think he's itching to have a big game. You know, and go Pats. I think 31-17.
Well said.
Sounds good.
See you, Dave.
Good job, Dave. Enjoy the game.
All right, Dave. Take it easy.
I just do need to, you know, being my fraudulent self, need to say that when I yelled earlier that Devlin's wearing short sleeves. He was in a group that included Gronkowski, Hooman, like about eight other guys. They all had short sleeves on. I didn't see anybody with sleeves in the group. So they're showing their guns.
I was reading a thing on the Ice Bowl.
Ice Bowl.
With Dan Reeves quoted in Monday Morning Quarterback. I don't know if you saw that, Andy. Someone in the organization may have sent that around because it was an extensive interview with Dan Reeves.
Yeah, I got it. I actually didn't read it.
Tom Landry would not allow the players that were handling the ball to wear gloves at all in that game.
What were the gloves like back then?
They were probably
hard,
like winter gloves.
Leather.
Like just real, like bring your gloves from home.
Hard
gloves.
Leather.
Yes,
I'm assuming
probably like knit gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either.
So you wouldn't have. That doesn't seem. You wouldn't have any feel for the ball at all. Anybody that had a chance, I think that the quote was anybody who had a chance to handle the ball was not allowed to wear gloves.
Yeah, and like nowadays you think that's stupid, like a coach mandating it, but they didn't have football gloves. Like,
right. Oh, yeah.
You were actually doing something that would be detrimental
to the game.
Put your damn gloves on.
Right. Well, now they actually have football. You know, Brady's got eight boxes of eight different kinds. He's got silicone and neoprene and rain and this. And
it's rain.
They're all labeled.
All for good. Oh, yeah, silicone.
There's all different categories in the boxes of gloves. It's rain and cold, just cold.
Right. That's why he's a mother-bleeping machine.
Right. He's a machine.
You ready? So, Warrior, are you ready? Andy, you ready?
I'm ready.
Paul, you ready?
I am ready. I've been waiting for this game.
Gronk's ready.
I've been ready for this game since like Wednesday.
Devlin's ready.
I need this game to come. And we need to be back here for the post game and get it all riled up again.
Right.
We have something to actually talk about.
Then start wondering, is it luck? Is it Manning?
Well, then I'm just going to take the show off because Andy will then have something to say because the game will have been played.
Well, I'll tell you what. Andy's going to start the post game show after the first series.
Booyah!
He's going to know. He's going to know what's going to happen. So just tune in. I don't know. Let's see. Half hour from now, Andy should be back on. In all seriousness.
Kevin, just leave the mic open.
Join us.
Come back and let everybody know.
Join us after the game right here on Patriots.com for the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about. We'll talk to you then.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Pats square off with Terrell Suggs and the Baltimore Ravens.
Tom backs up, throws for Gronkowski, makes the grab at the 20, spins away from the defender, stiff arms another, to the 10, to the 5, Gronk leaps to the end zone, touchdown Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right, Brandon. A deep drop, looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.